Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for today. Man, church folk, or something else. Let me see if you think a little bit. Just use some common sense. When you read the Bible and you see the Lord show up in its many manifestations, when the people met the Lord, they were changed. They changed. Things happened. They were never the same when they truly met the Lord. Moses was never the same. Isaiah was never the same. Jeremiah was never the same. Paul was never the same. When you truly meet the Lord, you're never the same. The spirit is high. That's what you call high spirit. There's a change. In church, they call high spirit the emotional content of frenzy and frantic. There is a difference. I've seen people be frenzy and frantic and run around and shout and fall on the floor. And guess what? When they close the door of the church and walk out, they're still the same. They're still the same mean, evil, nasty person they were when they had the experience with God. So my question to you is, what kind of God do you serve? When you meet him, you don't change. Think about this. This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and please share this with your church folk. And I'll see you, some of you, on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today. Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, God. We just praise you and we lift you up. We magnify your name. And God, we ask you that we get to dig deeper into your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So when we left off in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. And I'm going to start with Proverbs 15 and 3. It says, my eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and good and the good. So that means that he is what?
He is watching everything.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place. So what is he?
He's omnipresent.
Which means he is escapable. Because if his eyes are every place, he's escapable, right? And then we go to Psalms.
Inescapable.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. Thank you for correcting me, because I was in my mind was saying one thing and my mouth said another. Psalms 139, 7 through 10.
Psalms
139. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and the dew in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness cover me and the light about me in the night. Hold up. Even in the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. The darkness is as the light. For you will form my inner parts and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. And so that shows that God is in, he knows everything. He's inescapable. So let's go to Jeremiah 23 and 23. Okay, Nancy.
Jeremiah 23 and 23. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away?
And you know he's being rhetorical. Go ahead.
Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?
Who tried to hide from God? Who in the Bible tried to hide from God?
Jonah.
Well, Jonah tried to run.
Thank you. And so Jonah tried and he couldn't get away. He was in a stomach of a whale, right? And still couldn't be hidden, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal.
And so if you go to Zechariah 10 and 2, it says, for the household gods utter nonsense, and the divers see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore, people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for the lack of shepherd. And we talked about this last week on how people are giving false prophecy, false everything. And it took me, I'm listening to Messler today on YouTube. And of course, this was before 1988. And he started talking about how for 18 years before he found what he was doing, he had went to church to church to church and was not comfortable. And he realizes because they were not following the word and not, they were following denominations and not following the word. And when he finally got to a place where they were following the word and not denominations, he found peace. And so a lot of people I believe a lot of people who end up here go to certain churches, and I'm not knocking the churches, but they go to certain churches and not get sound doctrine. And when they get here, they get peace and refreshment because we're actually following the word. Mm-hmm. And now they most of the times can see when something is utter nonsense and not biblical. Okay? Yeah. I'm just giving a compliment to my house. I don't know what y'all be doing, but I just get my experience, okay? Yeah. Let's go back to, I like that other nonsense, because you got to keep that nonsense to yourself, because you confuse the saints.
That's true. We're on verse 28.
Yeah, 23 and 28.
Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?
Let's go to Luke 3 and 17. It says, he is willing fork in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. And they use that reference. That reference was a direct reference to when Jeremiah was talking. And I felt like that's like, it is not ironic, but it's a wonderful discovery, because in my version of the Bible, when you read about the wheat, the chaff was mentioned. So I can go back and read it. It says, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, said of the Lord? And I just found it wonderful how when the New Testament the Old Testament has a reference to the New Testament, seeing that those principles stay the same. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah.
So, I'm sorry. So, he was saying the dream had nothing to do with his words. So, he was comparing the chaff.
Yeah, so a prophet who has dreamed, let him dream. And he has my word. Let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, said the Lord? And a chaff, if you look up the definition, which I will give you the definition really quickly.
It's like the unused part.
Yes, that's the whole. Right. Yeah. Right. Must right. Like a little corn.
Right. Yes.
So then, I guess in reference to your question.
Right, you know how people have dreams and they claim that they're from God, but he's saying, you have a dream, you can go ahead and tell your dream, but it's not my word.
It's worthless.
It's yeah. So it's basically what they do is they take the debris and of the threshing and it burns. It's like popcorn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not anything. You know what I'm saying? It has like corn has no nutritional value. It's just there. And so you it's going number one, it's gonna come void. And number two, God didn't give it. So unless you see a fruition. See, the good thing about this is if we dig deeper in Jeremiah, we keep continuously going to Ezekiel, and we go to Isaiah, and we go to different places. And those prophets might not have been talking to each other and doing check and balances. You know what I'm saying? They check and balance themselves all the time. You could go to Jeremiah and find something in Isaiah and Ezekiel saying the same thing.
Right.
So God's word does not come void.
Right.
And it's always, there's a witness to that. You know what I'm saying?
So is it that the dream has to be something that God, that aligns also with his word?
It has to. Or it's not God's word. It's not God's dream. So God's going to say, if you come to me and telling me that I'm going to marry a lawyer, and I ain't married to a lawyer. But that was the prophecy, right? That didn't come, I don't know who gave you, what prophecy you gave. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Out of your imagination.
Out of your imagination. I'm supposed to have all these kids. I only have one. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That wasn't a word. That wasn't a word from God. That was a word from you.
Right.
Which is chaff.
Thank you. Yeah. I got another word for it, but it ain't holy. Okay.
Yeah.
It's cow manure. All right.
Amen.
Okay. 29. And you know what? In verse 29 hits what I just read in Luke, because it says, is not my word like a fire, said the Lord, and like a hammer that break the rock in pieces? God's word spreads and ignites, and you know that's gonna work. It was definitely doing that when Jeremiah was telling them they were doomed. Go ahead.
Verse 30, therefore behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another.
So he steals the word from the neighbor. So Ezekiel, let's go there. 13. Verse 8. And I'm sorry we're going to have to go down to 20, but I ain't really sorry. Therefore, thus said the Lord, because you have uttered falsehood and seen lying visions, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who seek false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God, precisely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And because when the people build a wall, these prophets smear it with whitewash. Say to those who smear it in whitewash that it shall fall. They will be a deluge of rain, and you, O great hailstones, will fall, and the stormy wind break out. And when the walls fall, will it not be said to you, where is the coating with you which you smeared it? Therefore, thus said the Lord, I will make a stormy wind break out in the wrath, and there shall be a deluge of rain in my anger, and great hailstones and wrath to make a full end. And I will break down the wall that you smeared with the whitewash and bring it down to the ground, so that it is the foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish in the midst of it, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus when I send my wrath upon the wall, upon those who have smeared it with whitewash, I say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it. the prophets of Israel who prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her when there were no peace, declares the Lord God. And you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own hearts, prophesy against them and say that thus says the Lord, woe to the woman who sew magic bands upon all wrists and make veils for the heads of the persons of every stature in the hunt of four souls. Will you hunt down souls belonging to my people and keep your own soul alive? You have profaned me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, putting to death souls who should not die and keeping alive souls who shall not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies. Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I am against the magic bands which you hunt the souls like birds. And I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls whom you've hunted go free, these souls like birds. Okay, Ezekiel, you tell them what God said. Go back. Go back to, Jeremiah 23:31.
3:31, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, declares the Lord.
Hold up, let me say this. Am I the only one that says Ezekiel sounds different now than when we were studying it? It means the context, I understand the context more now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the connectivity is definitely
stronger. Than when
stronger.
We studied it.
Yeah. And then we reference it a lot more.
Right. So I'm like, we studied this, but this scripture, I don't remember it meaning so much when we read it.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess that to me shows growth and that we're understanding what we started is now making more sense.
Oh, and by definitely. Ezekiel being probably one of the hardest ones.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it when I read that, I don't remember feeling this way that I did.
Gotcha.
So I thank God for a better understanding and his new mercies when it comes to his word.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, I didn't mean to get off topic. Go ahead.
That's a good point. I'm going to reread 31.
Okay.
Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tells them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. When one of this people, or prophet, or priest asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden. And I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household.
So go ahead and go to 35.
Okay. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother. What has the Lord answered? Or what has the Lord spoken?
So according to Messer, in Hebrew, this is verse 34 was a pun. The word Massa means oracle like a prophet. And the word pronounced with a different accent means to lift up like a burden. So the word burden and oracle are homonyms in Hebrew.
And it says the burden of the Lord part?
The burden and oracle, so the word masa in Hebrew is it means the same thing. It just depends on how you inflect the word,
okay,
the accent on it. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 15:7-9. Stacey, you want to read that?
You said Matthew?
Mm-hmm, 15:7-9.
You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
And who is that speaking?
Jesus.
Okay. and go to Isaiah 29 and 13.
And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men.
Okay. Couldn't that be applied to now?
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's go to back to Jeremiah 23. And 36.
But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more, for the burden is every man's own word, and you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? Or what has the Lord spoken? But if you say, the burden of the Lord, thus says the Lord, because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I sent to you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord.
Okay, so let's take this slow.
Yeah.
Because that's confusing.
Okay.
Okay. So, but if you say the burden of the Lord, thus says the Lord, right? Because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I sent to you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord.
Right. So if you say the burden of the Lord, you shouldn't have said it.
Right. Go ahead.
Verse 39. Therefore, behold, I will surely lift you up and cast you away from my presence, you and the city that I gave to you and your fathers. And I will bring upon you everlasting reproach and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten.
Is that the end of it?
Okay.
Okay. So, I ain't even got a comment on that. So let's go to chapter 24, and but I want to talk about something. Verse 24 and 25 chronologically or should be 25 should come between before 24. If you go chronologically.
Okay, chapter 25 should technically come before
24.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because 24 is based on the second wave of the deportation. And 25 is based on when Nebuchadnezzar came.
24 is the second wave.
Yes. So approximately 598 to 597 is when chapter 24 occurred. And we know that biblically the numbers are going down before Christ. Everybody get what I'm saying? So let's go to 2 Kings 24 verse 12 through 14. Uh-huh. And we can go to verse 11. Second Kings, verse 24, and let's start at verse 11.
Second Kings 24.
Sister Ava, can you read that for me, please? Uh-huh, and 11.
Alrighty. And Nebuchadnezzar himself came up to the city while his officers were besieging it. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his mother, his attendants, his nobles, and his officials all surrendered to him.
Okay, so the king of where it's referring to is Jehoiachin. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
In the 8th year of the reign of the king of Babylon, he took Jehoiakim prisoner, as the Lord had declared. Nebuchadnezzar removed the treasures from the temple of the Lord and from the royal palace and cut up the gold articles that Solomon, king of Israel, had made for the temple of the Lord. He carried all Jerusalem into exile, all the officers and fighting men, and all the skilled workers and artisans, a total of 10,000. Only the poorest people of the land were left.
So he left the poor there. So let's go to one second. 2 Chronicles 36. And 10. In the spring of the year of Nebuchadnezzar, sent and brought him to Babylon with precious vessels of the house of the Lord, and made his brother, let me go back, verse 9. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. And in the spring of the year of King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with precious vessels of the house of the Lord, and made his brother Zedekiah king over Judah and Jerusalem. Okay. So then we're going to go to Ezekiel. One. In the 13th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Chebar cannibal, the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. And on the 5th day of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the Chebar canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon me there. So the reason why we read that is to give us reference of what is going on. So now we know Jeremiah is still a prophet, correct? And we also know that Nebuchadnezzar has infiltrated Jerusalem, and that Ezekiel is now being deported as an exile, and his ministry is starting. So now we have a background for chapter 24. Everybody get me? Stop me if you ain't there. Okay. Where you at, Nancy? Because I know you.
Yeah, so Ezekiel. Okay, you said, I'm just processing what you said. Because Ezekiel, you saying Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they are the prophets of the time.
They're one of the prophets. There's some other prophets. We talked about, I know you came in, you didn't come at the beginning.
But there's some other prophets. In the same time frame. Okay.
And remember when we talked about the prophets in previous classes, and that was a long time ago, we might have to review it again. But there were some prophets that kind of overlapped.
Yes.
Okay.
This will be one of those times.
And Jeremiah and Ezekiel has overlapped in the ministry. Gotcha. But Jeremiah has been doing this a long time. And matter of fact, since we're here, let me go back to that. Hold on one second. Here we go. No. I keep everything on my computer. And hold on one second. What we're talking about is comparison, the calling of. Okay. So in the first part of the class, we talked about Ezekiel's call and his vision, and we compared Ezekiel's call with Isaiah's call and Amos's call. And in previous classes, we had I'll go to the Jeremiah handout. We had where we talked about which prophet started off with whom. So give me one second. Here we go. Okay, so remember when we were studying and we had the 134 years of warning, Nancy, and we talked about how Amos was around with Uzziah and Jeroboam, these kings from 792 to 753. Hosea was around between 793 and 722. Isaiah, 739 to 700. And then Jeremiah was, we learned that he was under Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And so remember we talked about that 134 years of warning. And then, it was a chart. And then we started talking about Daniel's time and Ezekiel's time, where Daniel and Ezekiel were during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So you see and then Ezra and Nehemiah were during the Persian Empire, and we even listed Esther as a prophet, okay? So remember when we did that timeline on how everything went, that is how we, figured out that most of these people had overlapped, okay? And Nancy, remind me to send you the introduction to Jeremiah.
Okay.
Because it has that chart again. Oh. Remember, I continue to use that chart. Perfect. Okay? And I thought we needed to stop so we can get a preference of what's going on. Okay. All right. So let's go to Jeremiah 24 and Stephanie, just to remind me, not Stephanie. Jesus, where did that come from? Stacy. We said that chapter 24 should have came after chapter 25.
Okay.
But we're going to go to chapter 24 because we already know that Jeremiah is not chronological. Go ahead.
After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile from Jerusalem, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim.
No, we're going to go back to, I'm reading the wrong one. 1 minute. I'm in Ezekiel. Go ahead. But that ain't right.
So where Jeremiah was?
24. Mm-hmm.
After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile from Jerusalem, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, together with the officials of Judah, the craftsmen, and the metal workers, and had brought them to Babylon, the Lord showed me this vision. Behold, two baskets of figs placed before the temple of the Lord.
So now you understand why I did all that background history, because 2 Kings 24 and 11 through 14 set that stage. Because remember we just read did that. So remember
next where we are.
Right. Okay? Go ahead. Okay. So we have two baskets. Let's see what's in these fig baskets.
Sure. One basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs, but the other basket had very bad figs, so bad that they could not be eaten. And the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I said, "Figs. The good figs, very good, and the bad figs, very bad, so bad that they cannot be eaten."
So let me ask you a question. If I presented you with one good fig and one bad fig, which one do you believe would go in exile?
The bad.
And I read.
Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Like these good figs, so I will regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I have sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans. I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. But, thus says the Lord, like the bad figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten, so will I treat Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his officials, the remnant of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a reproach, a byword, a taunt, and a curse in all the places where I shall drive them. And I will send sword, famine, and pestilence upon them until they shall be utterly destroyed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers.
So y'all say, Venus, you tricked me. No, I didn't. Because in your mind, you would keep the good, you wouldn't put the good figs in exile. However, there's a debt that's owed to God. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in chapter 25. And we also know that the remnant gets to come back to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. right? After exile. Right. So why would he put the bad ones in exile for to bring them back? He wouldn't do that. That doesn't make sense. The bad ones are not going to come back to the land of Jerusalem.
Right.
Those are going to be a byword. They're going to be thrown away. They're going to die. And they're going to have some issues. Whereas the good are going to go in exile. And if you go into 2 Kings, I got a point here. So before 2 Kings 25, 27 through 30. In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 20th month, on the 27th day of the month, evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that began to reign, graciously freed Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seats of the kings who were in Babylon. So Jehoiachin put off his prison guards, and every day of his life he dined regularly at the king's table. And for his allowance, a regular allowance was given to him by the king according to his daily needs as long live. Their commentary is using this as the fact that although the people were slaves, they were treated good. Now, you say, Venus, that's you know, that don't make sense. But Daniel was in captivity and exile.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not give him an education and he lived nicely?
Yeah.
So even though they were in exile, they didn't come back broken like they did in Egypt.
Right.
Okay. And so they had to go in exile, because when we get in chapter 25, you will understand that there is a debt that needed to be paid. And you said, well, what debt needed to be paid, Venus? Okay. I'll tell you.
I guess all the disobedience that they were doing.
Well, that's not only the reason why they had to leave the city, okay? And why they I'm gonna go ahead and preface this now. Let's go to Leviticus. There's a prophecy in Leviticus, which we talked about in Daniel, but it's good to review. Okay, so start at verse 2, Leviticus 25 and 2.
25 and 2. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord.
Okay, it didn't say the people keep a Sabbath in this sentence. Who keeps a Sabbath in this sentence?
The land.
So the land is supposed to keep a Sabbath in this sentence. Go ahead. It gives instruction what the land is, how the land is supposed to keep a Sabbath.
For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruits. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. The Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, for yourself, and for your male and female slaves. and for your hired workers and the sojourner who lives with you, and for your cattle and for the wild animals that are in your land. All its yield shall be for food.
It makes sense that the land, he gives you instructions on how to, he gives them instructions on how to work the land he gave them. It makes sense that if you overwork your crops and your land, it won't produce good fruit, right?
Okay.
And you want to use it in a simplistic way. Okay. But God already set up a way for you to basically live on faith during that seventh year and rest the land, okay?
And still yield
what the land has, okay? So if we go to Leviticus 26, 32 through 35. And I myself will desiccate the land so that your enemies who settled in shall be appalled on it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and I will unsheathe the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your city shall be waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, while you are in your enemy's land, and then the land shall rest and enjoy the Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall have rest, and the rest it did not have on the Sabbaths when you were dwelling on it. Is that not what happened during that time? When they were in exile for the 70, there's two 70 years. The 70 years that they're going to be in bondage, but there's also, we talked about this in Daniel, the 70 years that the land would be desolate because they did not honor the Sabbath of the land. Mm. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And we talked about this way in depth in Daniel.
Yeah.
About the 70 years. We talked about this also in Ezra and Nehemiah, that there were two separate 70 years. The land has to observe the Sabbath, and they went into exile for not obeying God and doing idols. There's two separate 70 years. Does everybody get what I'm saying? Are you there with me?
I think so. When was the second 70 years?
So when he removed them, the second 70 years is when they were removed from the land. Remember, there was three... So then, you know, the first people to leave in the deportation was Daniel and them,
right?
And Ezekiel's and them was in the second wave. So that's until all the people were gone, and that's when the 70 years started. Remember, Daniel was in the 37th year of the 70 year when he was talking in chapter 9. Let's go to 9, Daniel 9, so you can have a reference. But we talked about this. We talked about the two separate 70 years. Mm-hmm. So in the first, Daniel 9 and 1 says, the first year of Darius, the son of Abishur, by the descendant of Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem. Namely, 70 years.
Mm-hmm. I remember this. I'm going to go back and look at my book.
Right. So we did talk about
math. We did all this math.
We talked about this.
This adds up to this. And okay.
And we talked about this in Ezra and Nehemiah's time as when we were talking about them too. So what I want you to understand is the 70 years of the Sabbath. Because they did not, and we talked about how the 70 years added up to 490 days, you know, weeks and, you know, things of that sort, right?
Yeah.
So they had to atone for not using God's land that he gave them properly. They had, the word of Leviticus says they had to honor the Sabbaths. Yeah. So they weren't doing the 7-year cycles correctly at all. Mm. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Everybody with me?
Yeah. Thanks, Sal.
Okay, now you understand why we went there, because they owed a debt to God.
Yes.
All right. So let's go to Jeremiah 25.
Okay.
Now you see why I said the chapter 25 should have went to chapter 24 when you read this first sentence. Go ahead.
The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon.
So let's go to 2 Kings. Yeah, I thought we were done with Kings, didn't y'all? Let's see. Hold on 1 minute. That's not where I want to go. Let's go to Daniel 1 and 1. Read that.
Daniel 1 and 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it.
So a lot of people say, oh, that's not consistent. You understand when we were talking about kings, remember? There's two ways you can tell time. You can tell time by the year, how the year that everything reckoned, or the year that the king succeeds the throne. Okay? So what might be the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign might not be the year that their king was, you know, overtaken. It's the same year, but it's not, it's the time is measured differently. Let's go to 2 Kings. I did want to go to 2 Kings 24 and 1. That gives you some more time. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. So this kind of gives you a time period of what happened. Okay? Everybody with me? Or did I lose you?
You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's go back to Jeremiah 25. Verse 2.
Okay. Which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem for 23 years from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened.
So that means for 23 years, he's been in what?
Rebellion.
You saying like what?
Jeremiah been doing what for 23 years?
He's been prophesying.
He's been in his ministry for 23 years and they have not listened. And he's been through Josiah. He's been through all these kings, right? And he said Nebuchadnezzar was coming and God didn't listen. Go ahead.
Verse 4, you have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear. Although the Lord persistently sent to you all his servants, the prophets, saying, turn now, every one of you, from his evil way and evil deeds, and dwell upon the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers from of old and forever.
So for Nancy's sake and everybody else's, the concurrent prophets for Jeremiah includes Uriah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Daniel, and Ezekiel.
Okay. Yeah.
So he says, he says right here, you have neither listened or inclined your ears, although the Lord persistently sent you all his servants and the prophets with an S.
Yeah. So for these 23 years, all those, oh man.
It was more than one person saying the same end is near.
Get it together.
Right, get it together. Go ahead.
You said, I'm sorry.
What'd you say?
Uriah.
Uh-huh.
Zephaniah.
Uh-huh. Zephaniah, Habakkuk,
Daniel,
and Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. So not Isaiah in this reign.
No.
Okay.
All right. No, Isaiah was before them. Was either before or after. I gotta go back and look. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 6, do not go after other gods to serve and worship them, or provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make them a horror, a hissing, and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will banish from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the grinding of the millstones and the lights of the lamp. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Hold on. Question. And they mentioned Nebuchadnezzar as the servant of God. Mm-hmm. Did Nebuchadnezzar write a book of the Bible, yes or no?
A chapter?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a chapter.
Okay. In which book do you find the chapter?
Daniel.
What chapter?
Was it 5?
I don't know. You tell me. Okay, so now you're saying, you at verse 11, and you said that the whole land shall become desolate and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Mm-hmm. So this 70 years he's talking about is the 70 years of them serving Nebuchadnezzar, right? And the people, you know, not only Nebuchadnezzar, but they served a lot of people. You get what I'm saying now? Mm-hmm. Okay, now read verse 12.
Then after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste.
Now note, Mesler and others say that God used Babylon not because of the merit, but because of Israel's sin. So they are going to get, they're going to stick, they're going to get in trouble regardless. Let's go to Isaiah.
Wait, say that one more time for me.
What are you asking me to repeat?
The Mesler statement.
God used Babylon, but not because of its merit, but because of Israel's sin. Isaiah 13, you got me all messed. And 13, 19 through 22. Isaiah 13. Read that for me, please. Okay.
Isaiah 13:19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the splendor and pomp of the Chaldeans, will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them. It will never be inhabited or lived in for all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherds will make their flocks lie down there. But wild animals will lie down there, and their houses will be full of howling creatures. Their ostriches will dwell, and their wild goats will dance. Hyenas will cry in its towers, and jackals in the pleasant palaces. Its time is close at hand, and its days will not be prolonged.
Okay, so we will stop here. We will pick up at Jeremiah 13, chapter 25, 13. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for just being true, God. Thank you, God, for giving us options, God, allowing us to make the choice that you make. Matter of fact, you are the only choice, but also giving us free will, God. Lord, let us learn from our ancestors and from the people of Israel and Judah. God, we just ask you right now to protect us and keep us as we travel, God, as, through the streets, God. Protect us in our cars and in our homes. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.